Neil, you're very welcome to In Business.
Thanks very much, Amber, and good evening to you and your listeners.
So I know we've heard a lot from businesses on the show in the last couple of weeks or so, and it seems that things are still quite difficult for them, I suppose. But what are your members noticing, or how are they finding maybe the current climate?
Unfortunately, the issue for a lot of businesses is not necessarily that things are very bad in their own business, but that their costs are going up while their sales are not. And either those businesses themselves or their customers and clients lack the confidence or the view down the road to take investment decisions. There's so much going on in the macro environment in terms of tariffs, foreign sales, whether we're going to have the likes of, Mercosur, which I know will, cause some people in the agricultural community disquiet. Mm-hmm. There's such a lack of certainty and visibility in the macro environment that a lot of businesses are just afraid to take decisions, including decisions around recruitment and retention. And that's why we do see a slight uptick in unemployment at the moment as well.
Okay, and I suppose we've heard a lot as well, as I said, from businesses that say the cost of doing business, it really is a serious concern for them at the moment. I know obviously Budget 26 is coming up in the next few weeks. What does these may want the government maybe to do to help businesses address the cost of doing business at the very least?
Yeah, well, inflation is a fact of life and things become more expensive. But it becomes very problematical as a business when you can't pass that through. So if your input costs or your labour costs are going up and your customers are not willing to pay the increased cost of your sales, then that means you have to look internally and take something out. What we have seen with the increase in cost of ingredients, for example, you see that a lot of restaurants and hotels have trimmed menus. When you see labour costs going up, what we have seen by way of reaction to that is that hospitality businesses and retailers have reduced hours or reduced headcount, removed overtime, or reduced the number of part-time labourers they have. So control of the cost agenda we see as the number one issue for government. And, we appreciate that a lot of people in government think they can't influence the cost of business. They absolutely can, because we have a lot of costs that are governed by legislation. You know, the fact that we have the most expensive energy cost in Europe is a function of how pricing takes place here and how benchmarking against gas is used to price people here. And also we have an extreme lack of competition. But also you see on the cost of housing, the cost of rent, the cost of insurance, these are all areas where regulation and legislation impact the cost of provision. And what we're asking the government to do is to start effectively with a clean sheet of paper and understand what the impact of regulation and legislation is on all of those input costs, which affect the ordinary punter, the ordinary citizen on the street as much as they do SMEs.
Yeah, absolutely. They certainly do. And I know a part of your pre-budget submission, it also involves an Indigenous enterprise policy. Can you tell us about that, Neil, and maybe as what it involves and how it might help maybe?
Well, what we have seen over the last number of years, as you know, our state budgets have ballooned, expenditure has gone up and gone up. We've effectively got away with it as a state because corporation taxes have ballooned at the same time. And especially since 2015, 2016, we've seen them escalate massively. But that party can't continue indefinitely. And what we've seen in the first 9 months of the Trump administration is that not alone is the corporation tax base threatened here, the actual employment of lots of people who work for US multinationals in Ireland has also been threatened by the US administration. They're attempting to onshore a lot of the jobs that people here enjoy in pharmaceuticals in particular, which is a huge employer in Munster. So what we're saying is that the state and the Exchequer can no longer afford to rely on multinationals. And what they have to do is to sit down. Almost, we need a Whittaker 2.0 and look back at what happened in 1958 when the country had contracted so much that the population had dropped below 3 million, and we actually had to do a fundamental rethink of our industrial policy. Back in 1958, it was about the removal of protectionism and bringing in foreign businesses. Now we're not quite in the opposite situation, but what we do have to think about is how do we make Irish employers sufficiently successful that they will fill the gap if multinational businesses pull out of Ireland or reduce their footprint in Ireland. And that is going to take a lot of work because our industrial policy is fundamentally built around multinationals at the moment.
Okay, that's really interesting. In terms of housing, I suppose, like, we all know we are in a housing crisis, Neil, and it's, you know, I suppose there's no getting away from it. But is it playing a role when it comes to the difficulties that businesses are facing at the moment?
Oh, totally. I mean, the cost of rent and the cost of housing is the biggest driver of wage demand in the country. We're not saying that, you know, food inflation last month was 5%. Energy remains a massive issue. And of course, it becomes an even bigger issue as we go into the autumn and winter. But without doubt, for everyone, the cost of rented accommodation or purchased accommodation is the biggest driver for wage demand. And again, this is an area where legislation and regulation decides what the level of supply is. Back before the great financial crash, we had a plentiful supply of rental accommodation at low rents. And I know, of course, people are going to legitimately criticise how that took place, and it did lead to a crash. But let's not forget that the reason that crash occurred was nothing to do with the fact we had a lot of accommodation available. It was because we had loose lending practices that led to overvalued properties. Now, the central bank has now regulated that. We're not in danger of that happening again. But what we do see is that because Ireland is an attractive economy to live in, we have had very significant levels of inward migration over the last number of years, and there simply isn't enough housing for the people who are looking for it. So what we need is to incentivize the private sector to get involved in the provision of accommodation again. Over the last couple of years, taxation and regulation have proved inimical to the supply of accommodation, and you've seen both institutional landlords and private landlords withdraw from the market. Government needs to sit down with both of those groups and say, we are going to incentivize the provision of accommodation, and they need to do it in this budget. Delaying this any further is insanity. We have a major issue with the provision of especially affordable rental accommodation right now.
Okay, that's interesting. And Neil, I think something that we hear a lot about as well is obviously the fact that we're at full employment, but businesses then as well are struggling to get maybe the talented individuals that they need when they are hiring. So would it maybe like to see more spent when it comes to upskilling and training maybe?
Absolutely. While we have been effectively at full employment, it is interesting now that unemployment is creeping above 4%. But the availability of talent is a constant complaint from employers. And most particularly, it is the available of skilled adult talent. We should pat ourselves on the back in some respects and say that our school leavers and our college leavers are actually very well educated and perform very well in international terms and in OECD terms. But when we look at the OECD comparison between our adults and adults in other peer economies, or what they call SAEs, small advanced economies, it is unfortunately our adults whose performance is dropping in literacy, in numeracy, and in problem solving ability. And the only way we're going to tackle that is to actively intervene in training in the job market. This means people like you and me who are in employment actually availing of upskilling training so that we're fit for the new world, the digitized world, the world of artificial intelligence. Unfortunately, Irish adults, whether we're comfortable admitting it or not, our performance against adults in peer economies, Nordic countries and so on, our performance levels are actually dropping, and we need to work harder and better to ensure that we're productive workers as adults into the future.
And Neil, just before we finish up, are you confident maybe that the government will put a package of measures in place to support SMEs and to support businesses with the challenges, I suppose, that we've been speaking about?
Well, you know, our mantra to government is, look, we hear you making all the right noises about small and medium enterprises, but we believe it when we see it in the Finance Act, and we believe it when we see where government spending is going. So one clear marker for us is the government takes €1 billion a year from Irish employers in the training levy, and only 60 million, 6% of that comes back through SkillNet Ireland. That's for in-work training delivered on the job to adults. We've called for that SkillNet budget to be doubled from 60 to 120 million a year, and that would still only represent 12% of the money that's collected from employers for training. So we don't think that's an unreasonable ask, and that would be a real sign that the government was serious about developing Indigenous workers, getting us fit for the workplace for the future. So hopefully we're keen to see some good news in the budget, and let's see. But what we are most definitely saying is that, you know, incremental small change isn't going to cut it anymore. The world has moved on, and Ireland really quickly needs to cop on to that and move with it.
Okay, absolutely. Just one final question before we finish up, Neil. I suppose if there's any SME or small businesses listening at the moment and they really are struggling to weather the storm, what advice would you have for them?
There is always help available. Talk to other business owners. You know, people like ISME, we have support available for you. You know, drop an email to info@isme.ie. We have free coaching services and mentorship services available for businesses that are in trouble, including expert accountancy advice for businesses that are in survival trouble. So you're never alone. And believe it or not, you know, when people are in the depth of despair, there is no business problem that they're facing that no other business owner hasn't previously faced. So we can connect businesses in trouble like that with business owners who have gone through similar issues in the past and get them help. So don't suffer in silence. Reach out and get help.
Okay, that's great to hear, Neil. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat to me this evening.
Thanks very much, Amber.